game-changing hits, backboard-shattering dunks, backflips, and hat tricks on the Sports Leader, AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
Welcome back to the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Welcoming in 13 Wham Sports Director, Philadelphia Eagles fan, Mike Catalana. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good. And, you know, I give you credit. You know, it's tough. It's tough the day after. It's tough when everybody knows it's your team and you know you're going to get a hard time. But it was a heck of a game, and the luck was on the Eagles' side at the end of that.
And by the way, for the record, I really felt like all four games this weekend in the NFL playoffs were just substandard. I didn't really think they were great games. The finish of the Bears-Eagles game, of course, is what everybody's talking about.
Right.
And it comes down to what now looks like was officially a blocked field goal, correct?
Yeah, Hester for the Eagles, I got a hand on it. And so they're officially, you know, if somebody touches the ball, it's officially a block. It obviously could have had an impact, and they believe that it had an impact on where the ball went. But, and you're right. The other games this weekend, I mean, I thought the Colts just dominated in their game. I thought the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, was horrendous for most of that game, and the Chargers should have put them away. And then when you watch that Eagles game, you think to yourself, you know, that's two pretty good defenses, the best defense in the league in the Bears, and the Eagles have played better, and they went at it. I'd say that probably was the most entertaining game, and that's because the other ones weren't the greatest football games of the week.
Mike, I want to say it's part karma because Mike Danger, even though he didn't play in this game, Mike Danger is close to breaking up with Carson Wentz here. talk about quarterback controversies. Mike, how does this all play out, win or lose?
Here's how it plays out. Nick Foles goes on to another team next year, and Carson Wentz is the Eagles quarterback. And I think I'd explain it the best way to say this. Look, Nick Foles is who he is. He's great in these moments. I think they believe he is a starting quarterback in the NFL. Now, it's really worked with the Eagles a couple of times. In the 27-2 year was a strange year because he was a very different player than he is now. But I think that's the way it works out. I think the Eagles are looking at the next decade of a quarterback, and they have total faith in Wentz. And I think that's what's going to end up happening. I would say to anybody, we don't know what Foles will do this week, and if they play the next week, and if they play 3 weeks from now in the Super Bowl. But I think they look at it and say, let's say Cody Parkey makes that field goal. Is that really impacting your decision on who your quarterback is for the next decade? I mean, they know who Nick Foles is, and they love Nick Foles. And if they didn't have Carson Wentz, they'd be signing Nick Foles to a contract extension, and I think he'd want to stay there. But I think they, you know, and as good as Foles is, and they had 10 points until the final 2 minutes. Now, it was great that he took him down the field and scored, and he's tough, but, you know, it's not like he was lighting anybody up yesterday. He makes some tough throws, and he'll keep them in the game with the Saints, I think, but I think when they look long-term, I think Carson Wentz is going to be the quarterback.
Well, Mike, play this out, though, now. Like, let's hypothetically say that the Eagles shock the Saints, and they upset the Saints, and Nick Foles has done it again. And I'm curious as to what you think about Nick Foles' body of work just this season versus Carson Wentz. Just this season, I would say, and you say he's been good in these moments, I would say he's been good in this system. That Nick Foles is actually the better Philadelphia quarterback in Doug Peterson's system than Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I mean, it's really not accurate only because last year Wentz played probably at the highest level in the entire league in the same system. I mean, he was the MVP of the league. And Foles played that way, let's be honest. Foles played that way in the two playoff games last year when, you know, against the Vikings and against the Patriots, he was off the charts good. But it's not like Carson Wentz. If you're going to go by this year when, you know, he's coming off a knee injury and ends up getting hurt, then I think maybe you would say that. But at the same time, anybody who's watched this Eagles team plays knows, look at Wentz's last game. They play the Cowboys. He gets 3 touchdowns for them in the fourth quarter. They come back in the game, but the Eagles defense somehow gave up almost 600 yards to the Cowboys in that game. So while I love Foles and I love what they are doing, it's not as if Foles is, I mean, yesterday, what did he have, 260, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. You know, he's been good, and he's really good in spots. But we're talking about the future of the franchise. It's not like It's not like Wentz is a rookie and they got three more years on the deal and they're going to look at it. They're going to have to come to a decision on that. And I think organizationally they already have. It makes for a good story. And I would tell you this, if Foles is that good in the next, will be the next 4 weeks, and there's another discussion because they want to bring him back next year and figure a way to keep both of them on the roster and then make their decision in a year, that could happen. But I just believe from everything I've read and seen that they believe their long-term future is going to be Wentz beyond whatever happens this season.
And Howie doesn't pull a deal or the phone doesn't ring and it's John Gruden offering his first-round draft picks for Carson. You don't see any scenario playing out?
Even that could be the case. But again, you're now saying at the most important position, you're going to give up a talent like Wentz for draft picks. And I mean, that could happen. And John Gruden could be that guy and whatever they decide to do. I just don't feel this way. Plus, the other thing people have to remember is, Foles can buy his way into free agency, too. I think the way the deal was set up, it's a couple of $1 million payback, and he becomes a free agent. And I don't know. Who knows what he's going to decide to do? Again, think of it this way. If the game would have ended yesterday and you would have been happy and Parkey would have made the field goal, this doesn't even really become a discussion because it's like, okay, I mean, Foles was really good and he was great last year and he had a few good games, but they're going to move on from him. And I think that's what's going to eventually happen. Now, again, it may happen after two Super Bowls, but I think that's what's going to happen because I think it's pretty rare when any team's been in this circumstance to have a guy of Wentz's talent and to also have a guy who has performed the way Foles has. I mean, he hasn't played a full season in the NFL really at any time in his career. There's been injuries where he's been benched. So he's been that guy. That guy has been spectacular. But I don't think the Eagles are going to be in a position to be able to trade Foles. And I don't think they want to be in a position to trade Wentz.
13 WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalana joining us. You have Eagles fans optimistic, Cowboy fans feeling good, Colts fans, and a Charger fan. You get where I'm going with this. All these teams that won this week, now they have to face the better team on extra rest. How much of an advantage is it for those teams getting that first round bye, Mike?
I think it depends on the team. For different reasons, I think the rest is a good thing. I don't think the Saints played particularly well. And I think it's maybe getting away. They're a timing team. I'm sure they've practiced well. They're an explosive offense. If this game was in Philly, it's a different game. But in New Orleans, that makes it tough. I think the Rams needed a break. Mm-hmm. I think they needed to get away a little bit. And like we just talked about the Eagles, but the Eagles struggled at the end of last season and really limped into the playoffs as good as they were. I mean, they had a horrible game against Oakland and then rested people against Dallas and went into that first game with Atlanta and got through it in a close one. So sometimes you do get that team that's played the week before and it's a tough matchup. That being said, look at the different reasons. I mean, New Orleans beat the Eagles 48-7 earlier this year and Sean Payton rubbed it in at the end of the game. So from that perspective, I think the Eagles are a different team and certainly a different defense going into this game. Does it give them a better chance? I don't think it's going to be 48-7. I think it's going to be a game. The Cowboys are going to be playing a version of a home game out in L.A. I think the crowd's going to be 60-40 Dallas in a game out there. And the Rams don't really have much of a home field advantage, but they're a talented team. And when they get going offensively, they can be really good. And then when you look at the AFC, I love the Chargers. I love a lot of what they do, but man, that's 7-0. For Brady against Rivers is just something you got to deal with there. And I think they certainly have a better shot than Baltimore did with Lamar Jackson. But the Colts are a team, I'm telling you, I think the Colts are in that game all the way through. I think they play smart. They play tough. They're well coached. And Andy Reid, I worry about in these circumstances. I think the Colts are in that from beginning to end.
I agree with you. And actually, we were discussing last week, during their bye week with the Patriots, and maybe you can shed some light on this, Mike, and offer your opinion as well. If you knew that the Patriots, nobody wants to see the Patriots in the AFC Championship or the Patriots in the Super Bowl again. But if you knew that the Patriots winning the Super Bowl or even just making it to the Super Bowl meant that Tom Brady was going to walk off, would you take it?
No, I don't want, I don't want him to do it again. And at some point he's going to go, right? At some point he's going to go whether they win or they lose. So, you know, I had a big hot take we had here the other day on, I don't know if I said it to you guys before, but I said that if the Patriots don't make it this year, I think the Bills make the Super Bowl before the Patriots make it back.
Wow.
No, you didn't say that to us.
Say that again, Mike. I just want to make sure the tape is rolling on that one.
If the Patriots don't make the Super Bowl this year, where I think if it's possible to say they limped in as a two seed, I mean, they are good. They're well coached. They have Brady. I get all that. But if they don't make it this year, I said, I think the Bills will make it back to the Super Bowl before the Patriots.
We can only dream. Mike Catalana,
13. Yeah, they may, neither of them may ever make it, but there is a point where it's ending, and Brady's 41, going to be 42, and they don't appear to have anything in the pipeline. And while Belichick is the greatest ever, I don't know if he's going to coach forever. So there is a point where it does start to turn, and the Bills are getting better. I think the Jets will be better. Who knows about the Dolphins? But I think that's the thing. Like, look at how they ended up as the two seed this year. And they're not really that team, and they're, you know, they've struggled to keep that roster together. And Gronk looks like he's done. I mean, all those things will eventually add up, won't they?
I feel like we've had this conversation before.
Yeah, but now we're talking about really. I mean, it's getting to the point where I don't know where the next wave is coming for them. We always talk about them, bringing, you know, the Josh Gordon thing falling apart on him.
Yeah,
I mean. You know, and again, Gronk, a shell of what he was just based on injuries. And I think based on his contract, looks like this is going to be it for him, you know, and then who knows with Brady. So, again, that being said, who do you have more faith in a big game, Brady or Rivers? But, I mean, the Chargers, the way they're built, I think could go into Foxborough.
Mike, let's shift gears and talk about the Buffalo Bills a little bit here, because I love your take. And I think that's a take that will make a lot of Bills fans not only excited, but it'll make them think. Like, there's something to be said for this team, even though it was a disappointing 6-10 season, going into the offseason with as much optimism for 2019 as they have. Talk about some of the moves that need to be made this offseason. Talk about that optimism. The idea that the Bills are, you know, stable going into the offseason, where they're two of their AFC East division opponents are going to be starting from scratch, essentially.
Yeah, they're in that rare air here. I mean, it's almost like you forget about last year, that they actually made the playoffs, right? And they, you know, because it almost seems like a different franchise. But they're in that where, you know, everybody talks about the worst place to be is mediocre. And they're, you know, I guess just slightly below it. But the worst place to be is mediocre if that looks like that's all you can be. And this team is actually a good 6-10. They're 6-10, but they do have a quarterback, or they think they have a quarterback. They have a lot of room next year, and they've got a lot of draft picks. Now, the Jets could be saying the same thing, but like you said, they're going to be changing coaches too. I think the Jets have potential to be much better too. I think there's a lot of optimism. That being said, they also have to make some really smart decisions this offseason. I think they're going to be aggressive on the offensive line in free agency. I think that's where they're going to want to go out. You know, they'll draft people too, but I think they're going to want to go out and get one or two veteran starters, especially maybe at the center position, to get going. And obviously weapons, you know, this Duke Williams, take a shot at a guy. CFL, looks like he can go up and get the ball, but nobody knows. But that's the kind of thing, you know, you try to unearth guys. But they're going to also draft somebody pretty high, and they're going to be looking at free agents, too, in terms of wide receivers. So, you know, I mean, they still need a ton. I just think they seem to be trending on an upward part. And I would say no matter how poorly they handled their roster at the beginning of the year, and the Bills did, and we've talked about it multiple times, it ended up being what you would have wanted at the start of the year, where you have Josh Allen progressing, showing a lot of potential, and actually contributing that well on the field. A veteran backup. I know he's just Matt Barkley, but looks like he could be competent as a backup. And the right kind of quarterback room, however long Derek Anderson is in that position. It's what they should have had at the beginning of the year, but at least they ended that way. So however they got to the spot, it does appear to be 6-10 with the arrow pointing up.
Mike, the coaching changes here, too. You had maybe a surprise of Juan Castillo being let go, maybe not, but this report that comes out that the Bills requested offensive line coach Sean Kugler to interview him from Denver. Right now, the Bills are being blocked on that. First, I don't like that rule, you know, being blocked for an interview.
Well, he's under contract.
Well, he is, but there's no head coach there.
Yeah, he's under contract.
Yeah.
But, I mean, can I put the pieces together? If they want to talk to Kugler, that maybe Matt Paradise would be a good piece there to get Kugler in to recruit?
I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out, assistants. I know I can understand why somebody like Denver is doing that. They, you know, because when the new head coach comes in, those guys are on staff, and we've seen it happen before, obviously, Danny Crossman here, where guys remain, and they don't want to just clear out the ranks on the staff, especially if they're comfortable with coaches. But I think the Bills will be relatively aggressive in looking for the right coaching staff. And I get the feeling that maybe Brian Daboll is going to have a little more say or some thought on what they want to do with the staff or the type of coaches they want to have on the staff offensively that would make a difference. And, you know, they're learning. Again, they're learning. Juan Castillo, look, I'm not in the room with them. I looked at the offensive line, and I know you lost two key guys, and they did not really replace them, whether that was because they didn't have the money or wanted to use the draft capital to get those guys. But I didn't see anybody get better. I thought the line regressed pretty much the whole year. There was no diamond in the rough on that O-line. You know, you can hope for some guys, but, you know, there was no Robert Foster on the O-line this year. So, and Juan Castillo has been around a long time, and he has a history with Sean McDermott, but I think that's what you need to do. Don't pretend like 6-10 is good enough. There are changes that need to be made.
Mike, we were speaking a little bit, talking about these the shifts in the coaching staff last week. You know, David Culley is a guy who's historically been a wide receivers coach. And you could argue that as a quarterback's coach this year in Buffalo, he did a nice job with Allen, and you saw how he progressed through the course of the year. Or is there an opportunity now with Terry Robiskie being gone to move Culley as your wide receivers coach, bring in another quarterback's coach or somebody that might have an even better type of relationship with Josh Allen? I threw out the name Jordan Palmer, knowing, look, this guy has his own business, and he probably, you know, is doing just fine with the hours he keeps and the money he makes. Or is he the kind of competitor that wants to get back in the NFL and wants to showcase what he can do? That, you know, just as a name, any kind of name, somebody with a little bit more of a pedigree. Or let's talk about John DeFilippo, who's been kind of radio silent since being let go from Minnesota. You know, there seems like there's options there that they could shuffle the deck a little bit. Or are they better suited just kind of filling the holes that they need and not shuffling anybody that's already in place?
You know, Culley's an interesting one because I really don't know what they think. I mean, this is not, you know, I've heard Allen, I would say most of the time his compliments go to Brian Daboll. You have heard him mention Culley a few times, but you don't know what they think. You don't know what they think of him as a coach in general. I mean, he's still on the staff. Nothing has changed. So is that part of their thinking? I guess we will see. And in terms of a guy like Jordan Palmer, it depends on what Jordan Palmer wants. If Jordan Palmer's thought someday is to be an offensive coordinator and then to become a head coach in the NFL, that's a pretty good path to take, especially working with a guy like Josh Allen, who he knows pretty well. But Jordan Palmer may be content to be that guy, to be the guy who works with all these NFL quarterbacks, works with them in the offseason, doesn't have to work 100 hours a week like an NFL coach. But you mentioned the competitive part, because that's how you really feel it, right? If you're right there with the staff and you're coaching and you want to move up the ranks. If he's just a quarterback's guy and that's what he wants to be, then maybe he'd be just happy maintaining where he is. But I still find it to be pretty interesting. I don't know what Culley's future is going to be, but I would think that if he's still on the staff, that there is a place for David Culley on this team. And it's an interesting point to say, could he move to wide receivers coach? Because that is where he's spent most of his time in the league. But they seem to be pretty comfortable with him as a member of the staff, at least right now.
Got two undefeated teams tonight on your station there, Alabama-Clemson. What should we expect here? Mike, for your sake, though, I hope that the game doesn't go to five overtimes. I know college football goes long anyway. So
yeah, it go forever. You know, I know we're not supposed to feel this way, but it's Alabama. What's this, 4 years in a row, and three out of 4 years with these two teams and the best programs. And I know they're different guys sometimes. And Tua, if Tua's not healthy, and and see how he is in this game 100%, I think that gives Clemson a better shot. But I do think there's a little A little bit like we've been there and seen it before. One of these two powerhouse undefeated teams is going to be the national champ again. And that's great. I would like to see somebody else in there, but nobody, let's be honest, nobody deserved to be in there more than these two teams. And can you believe Syracuse should have beaten Clemson?
It was that close.
Yeah, it was right there.
And it was that close in the game. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the game just because they're, you know, two great coaches and two big programs. But, you know, do you root for Saban? Does anybody root for Saban? I don't know. He's Belichick of college football. Yeah. So I guess I sort of like to see Clemson win tonight, but it's two big powerhouses. And you know, I'm a little more focused on the NFL for next week.
Mike, what do you guys got on deck at 13 WHAM Sports?
We'll talk a little bit about Duke Williams because I find that to be an interesting signing for the Bills. Plus, the other thing is Toby was at Amherst practice today. And Amherst, you know, right there in the mix, back in first place, and got a big weekend coming up with Toronto coming in on Friday. And he talked to Scott Wedgwood. And the goalie is one of those guys that's, you know, he's not the young prospect, but he's not just a veteran guy. And what future does he have if he looks towards the NHL as well as he's played for the Amherst? So we'll talk a little Amherst. We'll talk college football. And we may show a shot of the Bears. We might throw that in there.
It's fine. So, it's fine.
There you go.
That's fine, Mike. Look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you for your time, as always.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Mike Catalano, 13 WHAM Sports. See, he went easy on you today.
He's a good man. He knows it hurts. It hurt. He's been there. It hurts. It doesn't feel good. Well, I'm here. It's okay.
I put my hand up here. I was kind of a DD this morning.
Yeah,
like if you go to our Facebook page right now, you know, filmed me walking into Danger's office, and then it ended up with Danger throwing me out.
I like that the moment I walk in the door. I guess my character is that well defined, where I walk in the door and immediately everybody's like, "Hey, buddy, how you doing? Yeah, you okay?" Masterstroke gave me a hug. I mean, I walked in the door. Masterstroke was in the lobby. He was waiting for somebody else.
Masterstroke,
but as I walked
in,
he's like, "Buddy," I go to shake his head. He's like, "Buddy, bring it in." I'm like, "Masterstroke." He's like, "Bring it in, man. I feel for you. You're one of us now. You know what real pain feels like." Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks. We got a lot to get to in NFL appetizers. Catalano mentioned Duke Williams officially on board now as a Buffalo Bill after tearing it up in the CFL this past season. What does it mean? Hey, listen, if I'm Brandon Bean, go ahead. Take as many of these shots as you want, because if you hit, well, you're a genius. You don't know where the next Lorenzo Alexander might be hiding. And if you can find value and production, go for it. That's one of the stories we'll be tracking for you here as we serve up today's top NFL stories with NFL appetizers, brought to you by Alex's Place, making mouthwatering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years, online at alexsribs.com. NFL appetizers next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports League, ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.